This is Monday, March 11th, and the topic this month is thoughts.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And I think that everyone now should know what that means. That means that we are one with this thing that we call God. We are one with this power in the universe. We must remember that we live in a spiritual world which is governed by spiritual laws. And the laws of the spirit are immutable, meaning they do not change, and they remain the same for everybody. And I think one of the main things that to learn about the laws of the universe, especially the big one, the law of cause and effect, or the law of attraction, is you don't have to be good for it to work for you. You know, goodness has nothing to do with it. We were taught as children that to make things work, you have to be good. Now, it makes much more sense to be good in your own mind and in your own life. But people often say, why does that person get this? He's the meanest, nastiest person in the world. Because you do not have to be good for the law to work. It's working all the time. So it's what you're putting into it. It's the thoughts that you are putting into it. I'll tell this little joke, and I just love it, about Mae West. You know, when Mae West did all the movies, she wore all her own jewelry. She rented it to the studios, and that was her jewelry. And in this one particular scene, she was walked into a nightclub. And the hat check girl said to her, "Oh, my goodness, what beautiful diamonds you have." And Mae West looked at her and said, "Dearie, goodness had nothing to do with it." So, that's one of the main things about this teaching is you have to learn that you do not have to be good. It makes sense to be good. We try to be good. We try to do that for our own selves. But it does not affect the law one way, shape, or form. If you're good, bad, or indifferent, the law just keeps on working. So when we use this word this month, we're talking about thoughts and so forth. And the idea is that thoughts are all there is. Everything that comes into existence came into existence because of a thought. Many people say that thoughts are the highest form of life that we have. But we put these thoughts into this thing that we call the law of cause and effect, or the law of attraction. And when we put our thoughts in there, things come back to us. Last night I was having dinner with a friend of mine. She's a lawyer, and she was telling me about a mutual friend that we both know was out Saturday night dancing and so forth, and of course lost his wallet. His wallet was lifted, pickpocketed from him, he thinks, on the dance floor. And I said to her, of course that would happen to him, because he has a consciousness, he has thoughts that people take things from him, that he never has enough, you see. That goes right into the law and proves itself every time. Now, my friend did not get that. I just threw that in and sort of sunk on the table. But if you think that you're a victim, which he does, then things are going to happen to you. And that's a thought that you put out there, or a thought atmosphere that is around you. It goes into the law and it comes back to you. How many people do you know that are say, well, I'm accident prone. And they're always having accidents because that's their mental state, or that is the thought atmosphere that they are putting out. It has to come back to you. So when you can change your mind about those things, life changes for you. It no longer brings that stuff back to you. Then last night also, I turned on, I don't know what program that was, I mean what channel, but an old Shirley Booth thing, The Maid, remember? Hazel. And she was doing a demonstration to show the little boy about thoughts and so forth. And it reminded me so much of Emmett Fox. She put a pen in her hand and she said, see, if you hold this pen, that's your thought. And if you just keep holding that and thinking about that, you're not going to get rid of it. So in order to get rid of that, she put a pencil on top of it, pushed the pencil down, the pen went out. Now, you have something else you're holding on to. Do you remember Emmett Fox said that about thoughts? They're like a nail on a piece of wood. You put another nail on top of it, and you hit that nail, that other first nail goes out. That's what you do with your thoughts. Last week I said, many people think that they're just thinking all these thoughts. You can only think one thought at a time. Regardless of what your mind is doing, only one thought at a time. And you have to be able to pick the thought that you want to think. So if you're holding on to something, like lack and limitation and so forth, that's a thought atmosphere. You have to push it through. Out of your consciousness completely. And you do that by changing your thoughts, by changing your mind. So you start thinking prosperity and abundance instead of lack and limitation. And then that goes right into the law. You cannot think any thought without it going into the law. That is why we say, you can no longer afford the luxury of a negative thought. It used to be fun to think negative thoughts. But they'll come back and bite you every time. Learn to think positive thoughts about yourself, about the world, and about other people. And don't think that things are going to be taken from you. Now, back to the young man. I'll tell you a story about myself. Back to the young man who lost his wallet. I went to a movie years ago in Atlanta, Georgia, and when I got home, I discovered I didn't have my wallet. So I went back to the theater. Now, my first thoughts were, oh my goodness, I'll have to get all new credit cards, I'll have to get a new license, I'll have to do this, I'll have to do that. And I said to myself, stop it, Dallas. You are a metaphysician. What is yours by right of consciousness must come back to you. And I do not have the time to get new credit cards, to get new licenses, and write all the letters to, you know, whatever you do. So I went to the theater, and I said to them, did you find a wallet? And they said, well, you'll have to wait till the show is, till the next show is over. And so I waited. And a young man, an usher, came out, about 16 years old, and he said, no, we didn't find anything. And I said to him, in one of my arrogant ways, I said, well, could I see a manager, please? And out stepped a 17-year-old. So I said to him, I'm about to wallet. And he said, well, what seat were you in? And I said, well, I could go, you know, I could find it. The seat, I could almost. I went down. The wallet was right there underneath the seat. The wallet was underneath the seat. I changed my thinking. I did not say it's lost. Somebody stole it. Aren't people waffle? They're out spending my money. They're using my credit cards, which the mind does. It builds up all that. And then you get back all that. I changed my mind and I said, no, I don't have time for that. I want my wallet. It's mine. And what's yours by right of consciousness must always be returned to you, or its equivalent must be returned to you. I also, when I was doing a lot of practitioner work, a young boy called me. He had his condo up for sale. And he called me, not to sell it, to tell me. He said, I come home, Dallas. There's nothing in my condo. Nothing. Somebody pulled up with a truck and took everything. Because a sign out front said for sale, so the neighbors thought, oh, he's moving. And that was their truck. I reminded him, I said, now let's sit down and let's remember what yours by right of consciousness must be returned to you or its equivalent. In 3 days, the police called and they found every bit of it in storage. Every bit of it in storage. It's the thoughts that count. It's always going to be your thinking. And it sounds mystical and magical. It's not. There's a law always working. And when you put the right thoughts into that law, they come back to you. If you put the wrong thoughts in that law, they come back to you. The law is impartial. It doesn't say, well, I don't think they want that. It has no reasoning power whatsoever. It's a servant. It does what you tell it to do. And it's a wonderful servant. We are not taught that. So we must learn to control our thinking. We must learn to become a witness to our thinking so that we can see what we are thinking. Many times I tell people, think of your computer. And think of your mind as that computer screen. And there's thoughts running across that screen. Which ones do you want to keep and which ones do you want to get rid of? You have the power to get rid of it. Many people say, oh, I could never think that way. Well, of course, if you're going to say you could never think that way, you're not going to think that way. You have to realize that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And that is what this teaching is all about, to teach you to go through life differently so that you don't have what I call the nits and fleas of life. You don't have all those upsets and worries that other people seem to have, and they take for granted that that is what life is all about. That something is always going to happen, that the other shoe is going to drop, that this is going on and that is going on. Do not do that. Speaking about the other shoe dropping, when we were over in the other place, a young man, Josh was his first name, and I do not remember his last name, came to me and said that he felt that the other shoe was going to drop because he was just up for a part in a sitcom called How I Met Your Mother. And he said, it's too good to be true, it's too this, and the other shoe is going to drop, and I'm not going to get. That's been going on the air about 7 years by now. The man is over $1 million. Over $1 million. But you have to, if he would have thought that the other shoe is going to drop, it wouldn't have happened. You have to change your mind. Your mind and your thinking are the only things that you have control over in the world. The only thing that you can control. So start thinking differently, especially about yourselves. This idea that you are always whole and complete and perfect. You have to sit yourself down and say that. I am whole. I am complete. I am perfect. And you will start to do that. You will start to feel that. But I hear many people say, oh, I always feel tired. I always feel this. Well, you're going to continue. you're going to continue feeling that way because you're putting that out and it has to come back to you. It's a thing that will not change. Whatever you put into the law will run its course and come back to you. So why do you want to put any negativity into the law? Why wouldn't you always want to put positive thoughts into this thing when you know that it's there and it's there to be used? It is an absolute spiritual law. The world does not teach you that. Most brand name churches do not teach you that. But that is the wonderful thing about this thing that we call metaphysics. We know that the law works, and we can prove it to ourselves. So, if I can do any of these things, you have to be able to do it also. Because not only is this a scientific teaching, you have to remember that this thing called God never shows favorites. God doesn't have a favorite. We get that whole idea that God has a favorite because of this man, Jesus Christ. You see. And people think, oh, he was special. God really liked him, so God gave him that power, and he was his only son. We are all begotten sons and daughters of this power that we call God, or this intelligence, this life, whatever you want to call it. God does not show favorites. So when you think of that, and I hear many people say, oh, that person gets everything. Well, then start saying that about yourself. I get everything. I get everything that I want. Remember what I told you? One of the most powerful affirmations you can say is, I always get what I want. I always get what I want. And how many people do you hear say, I never get what I want? You know, it's more prevalent. People say that more than I get what I want. People say, I never get what I want. I knew it. I wouldn't get them. You have to know that you're going to get it. Don't do these things to yourself. Why? We can't all come to agreement on this is absolutely beyond me. Absolutely beyond me. Now, it is my personal belief that mind is changing, our mind is changing, race mind is changing, and we cannot go on with this idea, the faith of our fathers and so forth. The faith that my father had and my grandfather had, that was their faith. You have to come up with a new faith of your own, and you do that by thinking differently. By thinking differently. And there's nothing sacrilegious, by the way, of saying, I'm going to think differently than organized religion. I'm going to think differently than organized religion. Now, this is a psychological law that maintains itself in the world. And it is, you can never rise higher than the group that you're in. You cannot rise higher than the group that you're in. What does that mean? If you're in an organized religion, you cannot think past them. You have to think the way everyone else is thinking. If you start thinking differently, they're going to ask you to leave. Let's hope they're going to ask you to leave. And get out of there as fast as you can, please. You see, so many people are under the idea that they can find salvation through affiliation by affiliating themselves with some church. They can find salvation. First of all, this idea of being saved We're already saved. We're already saved. You don't have to go to a church and have a priest or be baptized and do all this other stuff to be saved. You're already perfect. You're already saved. You don't need all that hoorah that these other people think that they need in order to find peace of mind. That's what we're looking for, peace of mind. And you can find peace of mind when you realize that there is a law out there. And we're living, moving, and having our being in that law, the same way we're moving, living, and having our being in the mind of God. We're having our life in this law called the law of cause and effect, or the law of attraction. We are attracting things to us, and we are attracting things to us with our thinking, with our thought. There's another wonderful thing about thought. Where thought goes, energy flows. Where thought goes, energy flows. And we use that for across the board, but one of the main things to use that with is with healing yourself, your own body. If you have an ache or a pain, send energy to that ache or pain. Send thought to that. The energy will start to flow to that area. That area will start to heal itself. That's how you do these things. So think of that. Your thoughts are very powerful. Your thoughts are very, very powerful. Your words are powerful. So, words, structure, thought. And thought structures reality. Florence Shin has a book out called Your Word is Your Wand. Your word is your wand. So using your words as a wand, like a magician, you can make things happen by using your words. How many times have I said, you must get a different vocabulary? You must get a different vocabulary. A vocabulary that allows you to have thoughts that are bigger and better than the ones you are having now. You have to have people with very small vocabularies do not succeed very well in this world. People with very small vocabularies are usually living in ghettos. And they cannot get out of the ghetto. It's not because they want to be in the ghetto. They can't figure out how to get out of the ghetto because they don't have the words to get them out. You have to be able to increase your vocabulary. When you increase your vocabulary, you increase your thinking power, you increase your thoughts, and you're able to move forward. It's done with words. It's done with thought. It's not done by giving people money and all that. Now, we know about money, and we know that people who win the lotto in a year's time never have any of that money left because they don't have a consciousness to keep it. And you have to have a consciousness to keep it. The same way the young man has a victim consciousness that lost his wallet. I happen to know this young man, by the way. When I see him coming, I go the other way. That's absolutely true. Because I see the dark cloud that he's carrying around with him. He does not know that. He's a victim. And he's going to remain a victim until he figures that out. But he thinks that's the way the world is. And then he loves to tell everyone. You see, I would never tell on myself if I lost my wallet or got pickpocketed. I would never run around telling people. I would because why is he doing that? Because he wants sympathy from you. He wants you to get involved with that. I can't get involved with that type of stuff. It's absolute silliness. It doesn't count for anything. But he thinks, oh, now I have a story to tell, and everyone's going to love me more or like me more, whatever he thinks, when I tell the story. Poor, pitiful me, I lost my wallet. First of all, if he told me that story, I'd say to him, you probably had no money in it anyway because you don't have money. No, whoever has money, so what would have been in his wallet? You know? Yeah, his driver's license, about the only thing would have been in that wallet. So you have to sit yourself down, and if these things, and this happens to this one, and anybody with accident prone, anyone that's accident prone, it's coming from their thinking. And when you're an accident prone and you keep getting one accident after the other, it builds up your belief system in that. So now you absolutely believe that you're accident prone. You can change anything about yourself. And I hear people say, oh, that's just the way I am. I couldn't change. Well, you most certainly can. You can change at any age. We no longer live by that little doctrine, you can't teach a new dog, an old dog, new tricks. You certainly can. Now, it takes a moment to be able to do that. But if you remember, if you'd have seen that, I thought that was wonderful. And Hazel must have been on what, in the 50s? Hazel must have been on the 50s, and that was a perfect thing. She had the pen in this hand. She said, see, now that's the thought, and I'm holding it so tightly I can't get rid of that thought. The only way I can get rid of that thought is to replace it. And she put a pencil on top of the pen, pushed the pencil down, and the pen fell out. That's what you do with thoughts. Very easy, very simple. Now, that's been around since the 50s. How many people? I never saw that program before. But I was delighted, and I thought, oh, I hope that people recognize what was going on there in the 50s. But they probably didn't, because very few people in the 50s thought that their thinking had anything to do with their life. They thought life just happened to them. Life does not happen to you. You happen to life. And when you can change your thinking about it, life changes. Life changes. So many people want to change outside circumstances. You can never change an outside circumstance. An outside circumstance will change if you change the inner thinking first. But to try to dabble in anything on the outside of life, you're not going to make it. It's not going to work for you. But once you change your thinking, once you change your thoughts, the outside of life is going to change. So you have to realize that we were given, many times I say this to myself, you've heard in the Bible the gift has already been given. That gift is your thinking. That gift is your mind. And then if you remember that, oh, I have the gift, and I have a law that I can work with, an immutable law of cause and effect, or the law of attraction. And if I put something into that law, it must come back to me. It must come back to me. And it comes back to you. It comes back to you. Multiplied abundantly. Multiplied abundantly. I have a difficult time sometimes telling people about money. When you spend your money, you must always spend it with a grateful heart. You must always be grateful that you have the money to spend, and you must realize that it's going to come back to you multiplied abundantly. And if you do that with your money, it will do that, because here again, you're putting it into this law. and that law has to come back to you. So many people are afraid to spend money. If you are afraid to spend money, you're not going to make money. You're not going to make it. Now, here again, with all these things in religious science, and they all sound, some of them sound airy-fairy, and they sound mystical and magical and all that. They can be all those things. But with any of the stuff that I talk about, you must learn to use wisdom. You must learn to use a wisdom with it. So, how do you learn to use wisdom? Keep asking for it. Keep asking for more and more wisdom to come to you. It can't be withheld. This thing called the universe, this thing called God, withholds nothing. Withholds nothing from you. You have complete access to everything. So use that power that you have. The power of thinking, the power of thought. And we are just not taught. We are not taught that our thinking is powerful. We are not taught that we are powerful. And you must start to see yourself as a powerhouse. You must start to see yourself as a very powerful thinker. A thinker that is putting something out there. Something out there that is going to return to you. That is why we don't watch the 11 o'clock news. Who wants to think about that stuff? Who wants to do that before they go to bed? No one. Well, I say no one. I don't want to do it. There are tons of people that can't go to bed till they watch the 11 o'clock news so they can get all riled up. And then they probably have to take a sleeping pill or something.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So, to manifest.
Yeah.
Because I'm obviously, I just realized I'm doing that wrong. I think of what I'm looking for in job situations.
Yes.
So I go to my website and I make calls. But I should not be doing that because that's the outside world.
Yeah.
I should be sitting there and visualizing it and saying these wonderful things and coming to me then.
Yes, then you go to the outside. And when you're thinking about, like, I will use Candace a moment as an example. You want a job in the industry. You want to see yourself. How much money do you want to make in that job? Do you have a salary? Do you have it in mind? Do you repeat that to yourself? And do you add on this or something better? This money and more? You always have to say this or more or this or better. Why do we do that, people? Yes, you don't. It's not limiting you. It's limiting the universe. If you say, I only want $1 million, you've limited yourself. You must say $1 million or more. I want this job or something better. Or I know this job or something better is coming to me now.
I'm limiting myself to, like, asking, but I need to say, and more.
And more.
I'm going to search around for that.
Yes. It has to search. And that's a terrific thing if you think about that. Think of a watchtower. Or a lighthouse. It's searching, isn't it? And it's going around and searching. That is what this power, this thing called God, does. It searches. Ernest Holmes said, when you do spiritual mind treatment, and you want to make a demonstration, and if something is needed in that demonstration, that is in the deepest, darkest part of the jungle, you must know that it's coming to you now. You must know that it's coming to you now. You see, when I want something, I look at the universe as all kinds of knobs and switches. And they have to be turned. Because we live in a delicate universe, and one that's always in harmony. And I've used this expression, this idea before. if I get up from this chair and move over past Rose, the universe must make an adjustment for that in gravity. It must make an adjustment for that. So that's why we always use the tagline also, for the best of all those concerned. Because you can never take anything from anybody else, you see. It's always for the best of all those concerned. So, when you're visualizing, I visualize knobs and levers and so forth, and they have to be turned this way and that way, so that it's the best for all those concerned. Otherwise, we would have chaos, and we do not have chaos. We have harmony. And the only way you can get the harmony is to make sure, because if I take something from this law or from this universe, it may harm somebody else. So I have to make sure that my demonstration does not harm anybody, and that everybody else, the harmony remains. You see? Does that make sense to you? The harmony has to be there. So you do these things. The other thing that it keeps you from doing is it gets you out of yourself and it gets you out of being selfish. You see, I want this and this is what I want. Me. You see? You have to, everyone has to be benefited by this. Everybody has to be benefited by this. So if you got the job, who would be benefited? Yes, and who are they? Your creditors, you'd be able to pay the light bill, you'd be able to pay this, you'd be able to pay that, you have to see what it's all, how it's going out. You see, it's not, nothing is an isolated event, people. Nothing is an isolated event. When I sit down to pay my bills, I'm delighted to pay those bills. Because now, when I send off the telephone bill today, I didn't go. Remember years ago with Ernestine and how we hated Ma Bell and all that, the telephone company? I don't hate the telephone company. I say, thank God I'm able to pay it. Thank God I have that service. And now look, somebody is going to get paid and they'll be able to feed their family. They'll be able to feed their family. Money is God in action. Money is God in action. It's doing something. So think how powerful you are. You're paying, somebody's getting that salary from because you paid your bill. Now they're able to spread that around. You see? That's how you look at these things. When you get that whole concept in your head, you'll see that everything just falls into place. See? As you grow in this teaching, you'll discover that you don't have to do treatment constantly. Things will just keep coming to you because you've put yourself in harmony with everything. So, you're always, what's the other biggest thing I've taught you to say? I'm always being taken care of. I'm always being taken care of. And if you look down in your life or through your past, what you've done, you have to realize, oh my goodness, being taken care of. You're always going to be taken care of. So it boils down to your thinking, to your thoughts. And that's what we want to do. We want to learn to change our thoughts. We want to see how powerful thoughts are. The other thing we want to do is realize that we can go through this life differently than other people. We do not have to go through life with all this crap that's out there and make our life some kind of a melodrama or a B-grade movie. We can make our life wonderful. And we make our life wonderful with our thinking. And we start to change our thinking. So we start to see ourselves as whole and complete and perfect. We start to have the attitude that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. So if you can get those things together and correct your thinking, become a witness to your thinking, see what your mind is telling you, and when it tells you something that you don't want, you have to correct that. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. You must learn to use it. You must learn to use it. You will discover when you learn to use your mind, your life will be much better. You won't be depressed. You won't be unhappy. And if you are depressed, the depression will only last 5 to 6 minutes. Because you're able to change your thinking. Once you're able to change your thinking, it has to go. It has to go. Thoughts always precede emotions. So what you're thinking about, you're always bringing about. And if you sit and think you're unhappy, you're going to be unhappy. You see? So you have to correct those. And we were taught, or I was taught as growing up, that this thing on happiness just hits you in the face and, you know, that's the way you were. You were unhappy. And you got all bent out of shape until you figured out how to get rid of it. You see? And how do most people get rid of unhappiness? They run out and buy something. They run out and buy something and it doesn't work, you know. It's not a permanent thing. What you want is something permanent in your life. You want to be able to have the thoughts going on in your mind that keep you happy. That keep you happy. It all starts with your thinking. Your life is your thinking. It starts there and moves outward. Always. So what are you telling yourself all the time? You have to sit yourself down and say, oh, what am I telling myself? And then you can change that. And I see many people who have never learned that. And, of course, when I go home to the area where I was brought up or reared, I call it the land of Nod. Those people have not one idea that their thoughts are causing anything. They think everything else is causing it. Some people are lucky. Some people are unlucky. You see? In this teaching, there's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as chance or accident. If your wallet gets stolen on the dance floor, it's because of some thought. It's not because you drew those people to you to steal that wallet. You drew them to you. You see? I have often left my wallet in the car overnight and don't have the car locked. And my wallet's there in the morning. It's there in the morning. Because I do not believe in theft. I do not believe in that. There's so many things I don't believe in. I don't want them in my world. I don't want them in my universe. And that's what you have to say to yourself. What universe am I living in? Am I living in the one that I made, or am I living in somebody else's universe? Am I living in the world who keeps telling me all this horrible stuff's going on? You're the one that's creating your universe. We all live in thought atmospheres. And those thought atmospheres draw things to you. So, when I use the word thought atmosphere, that's a combination of your total thinking. A combination of your total thinking. You see? Are you happy most of the time? Do you feel good most of the time? Are you generous most of the time? Are you kind to yourself most of the time? You must learn to be extraordinarily kind to yourself. Extraordinarily kind to yourself. When you're kind to yourself, you're kind to other people. People who are mean to other people have a very bad consciousness going on. They don't like themselves. So they project that out into the world. Do not do that to yourself. Do not do that. Know that you can change. You can change your thinking any time you want. You can change it. And then, once again, do not take it so seriously and have fun with it and say, I know how to do this and I'm putting this into the law. When you want your job, you say every day, I'm putting that into the law. And I know that that law is working on it and is going to bring it back to me. You see? It's there to be used. It is there to be used. We all know about the law of electricity. The law of electricity is always working. But to make a light, you must flick the switch, mustn't you? But electricity is always there. The law was always there, but you must put something into it. You must do something with it. You are the one that must flick the switch so that it will do something for you. You see? It's wonderful. When you sit down and really think about this, it's an absolutely wonderful concept. And it absolutely works. It absolutely works. So do not get discouraged with it. And if your demonstration has not come yet, you must know that it is going to. And if it's not coming, you sit yourself down. You don't get mad at yourself. You don't get mad at the universe. You say to yourself, what in my thinking is keeping this from me? No one can hold anything back from you. Only you can hold things back. And you hold things back with your thinking. Only you can do that. So that's why in this teaching, you see, we never blame. There's no one to blame. There's only a different way to think. The world wants to blame. Oh, I didn't get the job. I didn't get this. I didn't because of this, 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 or this. You know? Horrible. Horrible. Now, in closing, I'm going to tell you another thing about the law of attraction with a story. I have a friend who's an actress, Ruth. Ruth has maybe turned 60. Now, her first thought always is what? I'm too old. Now no one will hire me. So I have to sit her down and say, have you heard of Maggie Smith? Have you heard of Betty White? Have you heard of these other... There's tons of older actresses out there and actors out there working, by the way. So recently, she went out on an audition for Modern Family. Is that the one thing? She came back and I said, well, how'd it go? Oh, I'll never get that part. I said, I sat there and famous named people kept coming in. They have better qualifications. I said, you can't do that to yourself. You cannot do that to yourself. See, we don't compare in this teaching, right? I said, you must know that you have talent. She's been 30 or 35 years she's been working. You would know her maybe on television from Nip Tuck. Movies that I know, she Legally Blonde 2. She was the crying judge in Legally Blonde 2. So anyway, I do that all to her and I say, you must change your mind about this. And you must realize that you can get that job. She got the job. She got the job. Because just because somebody more famous walked by, and I did tell her that, I said, maybe they won't hire those people because they'll want more money. You know. You can't say, oh, they'll get the job. I won't. She got the job by changing her thinking. Of course, I had to kick her into changing her thinking. But you had to change your thinking. If she would have continued, I'm not going to get that job, she wouldn't have gotten the job. She wouldn't have gotten the job. You have to realize that. Ruth, at the present moment, has decided she needs religion. She doesn't. I don't talk to her very often. I don't think she knows that I'm a metaphysician. But anyway, she did tell me she's found a wonderful church that she's going to now. The Hollywood Methodist Church. I said nothing. I said nothing. The Hollywood Methodist Church could teach you absolutely nothing. Could teach you absolutely nothing that you need to know of any value. And I think I've told you this before. They call it a Methodist church because the man, and his name will come to me, Wesley, I believe his name was, came up with an idea, a method of how to get into heaven. And that's why it's called a Methodist church, because they have a method to get into heaven. You do not need a method to get into heaven. Please. Heaven is right here and right now, and it is in your consciousness. It is in your thinking. Learn to think better thoughts about yourself, and you will arrive in heaven. You do not have to die to enter heaven. All you have to do is change your thinking, and heaven will appear. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.